Tonight, 1 Corinthians 15, but a little different tonight. I know we've got some visitors here with us, and we appreciate you being here, but sometimes on Sunday night we try to do things a little different, give our people something other than just salvation messages and things of that nature. We try to give people something to help them. And for some of you, this is going to be old stuff. You've probably heard it before, taught, and taught better than probably what you'll hear it tonight. And then others have been... others probably have never heard some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. It might be a good idea to get a pen and paper out and write some of these things down. We'll find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll begin reading. Well, let's read in verse number 12. Let's start there. Read down to about verse 15, and then we'll go from there. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you just a few minutes and talk to you about the seven resurrections. There are more than one, there's more than two, there's more than three, there's actually seven. We'll go through all of the seven resurrections throughout the Bible, and we'll try to draw them on the board, and so you can have a visual picture as well, and you may want to write some of the verses down so you can go through them at a later time. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, by now I hope you found it, verse number 12. Now listen to this, we just come out of the resurrection season, per se. Verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. Verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. You know, if there is no resurrection, there's no sense of us being here tonight. Yeah, if there is no resurrection, if Jesus is still dead in a tomb somewhere, then we're no different than Buddha and Hinduism and the rest of them. We're no different than anybody else. If Jesus is still in the tomb over there in Jerusalem somewhere, then we might as well pack up and go home, turn this into a parking lot or something. Amen. Your Christian faith hinges on the resurrection, what Jesus did on the third day he got up. That's the reason we gather together on the first day of the week. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. What you got your faith in is vain if Christ is still in the ground. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead not raised not. Now notice what he said. He said, we are false witnesses. We're preaching a false gospel. We're preaching something that's totally vain. We're leading people down the road to a devil's hell if Christ is still in the grave somewhere. Everything hinges. All seven resurrections we'll talk about tonight hinges on this one very fact and one resurrection, that in itself, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us tonight already through song. And God, the message that we're about to present, Lord, with hope it helps somebody. God, give us something that'll sustain us more so than just the milk of the Word. But Lord, we need the meat of the Word as well. And God, we need you to help us with that. So God, we ask your presence to be upon this place like we talked about this morning. God, we'll come in this place. Lord, we want to stir you up so you'll come down and meet with your people. God, do something for us right now we can't do for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice here, in 1 Corinthians 15, you'll look at verse 1 through 4 and you'll find the gospel. What is the gospel for this age today that we live? Well, it's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If you'll notice there, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, verse 1, the gospel which I preached unto you also, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's number one. According to the Scriptures. And verse number 4, and that he was buried. That's number 2. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know what the Scriptures are? They're in your lap. And we don't have the originals. We have a copy of a copy of a copy that God promised to preserve. And we have his Word in front of our lap. We didn't get out of Sears Roebuck catalog. We didn't get out of Life magazine, Field and Stream. The Scripture says he arose. And that's what we believe. Yeah. So number 1, we'll look at the first resurrection. And it's found here. Well, one place is found here in 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to notice here, verse number... Well, it's hard to say. Let's start in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits, plural, of them that sleep. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And verse 23 says, but every man in his own order. God's not the author of confusion. Everything's in order with God. Christ, the first fruits. Notice first fruits is plural. Afterward, they that are Christ at His coming. Now, the first resurrection that we see, number one, everything hinges on this one resurrection. We're going to talk about it here for just a few minutes. Number one is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 3 days later, He gets up out of that grave. Lo, in the grave He lay, Jesus my Savior, right? Number one, Christ. Every resurrection hinges on Jesus Christ raising from the dead the third day after He dies upon the cross on the 14th day being Passover. 3 days later, 72 hours later, He gets up out of the grave, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He goes down. We've already talked about that a few Sunday nights ago, how He gets the keys, death, hell, and the grave, takes away the keys from Satan. And now He's seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for me and for you. I want you to notice the verse, Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. I hope you know by now Christianity is different from all other religions in the whole world. Do you know you can be a good Buddhist and Buddha still be dead? Yeah, that religion works just fine with a dead God. Confucianist. You can be a good Confucianist with a dead leader. But you realize if they ever found one bone of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they ever found one bone of the Lord Jesus Christ, our religion can no longer operate. Every other religion in the whole world can operate with their God dead. If our God is dead, we can't operate. That's important. I read a story about a missionary who went over to India, and they were parading up down the highway there, or the street there. They had supposedly the bones of Buddha. And they were parading up and down the street, and everybody was a Buddhist there, and they were cheering and whatever else. And this missionary just mumbled under his breath a few things. And a guy that understood English said, "Hey, what'd you say?" And he said, "You know, I was just thinking to myself, that's pretty sad. Y'all shout over your God being dead." He said, "I'm glad that I can shout that my God is alive and well." You go over to the tomb of Joseph Arimathea, you stick your head in there, there's a sign there that says, "He's not here, He's risen just like He said. And He's coming back just like He said." Everything hinges on this one resurrection. Now, He rose from the dead, and listen, did you know the best news in the whole wide world didn't come from the radio station, didn't come from the television? The best news in the whole wide world came from a graveyard. The best news that you've ever heard in your whole life came from a graveyard. It wasn't on a radio station, Life magazine, anywhere else. It was from a graveyard that He arose triumphantly, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And that provided a way that you and I could go to heaven one day. That, my friend, is salvation. Not in what you've done or what I've done, but what He's already done and what He's already conquered and accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Now, number two, let's move on to this. Number two is the second resurrection. It's found in Matthew 27. I want you to notice this. In verse number, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there is darkness over the land to the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." Straightway, one of them ran, took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave it to drink. The rest said, "Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Notice verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The earth did quake, the rocks rent. Notice verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Now notice that. After his resurrection, these graves were opened up, and went into the holy city, that's Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. Folks, I don't know about you. I'd have liked to have been in Jerusalem that day. Jesus Christ raises from the dead, and guess what? Right behind him is resurrection number two, and it is Old Testament, well, some Old Testament saints. Old Testament saints. You say, preacher, what do you mean? We're talking about Halloween in Jerusalem. We're talking about the day when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, the graves were opened, and some of them which slept, those Old Testament saints died before the cross, some of them now, we'll get to the others in just a minute, divided in two groups. There's some down there that come up. Can you imagine walking down the streets of Jerusalem and all of a sudden running into Adam? Can you imagine going down the street and walking and running up on Eve? What about Abel? Walking down the street, and there we go, and you look out in the graveyard, wherever they buried people back in that day, and the graves were open. Now we're talking about, this is not a fairy tale, this actually happened. Some of y'all look at me like I'm reading out a comic book. This is out of the Bible. I don't know how many sermons, I'd like to preach a sermon one time on them Old Testament saints that got up and walked through and appeared to many people. Dead bodies, they walked, the dirt is done covered up, uncovered out of the grave, and they're out walking around. How long? I have no idea. Before they were resurrected, don't know. But I know this, they come up out of the ground and the graves were open right after Jesus come up. Why did Jesus have to be first? He's the first fruits of the resurrection. Jesus Christ first. And then, what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, over there, Christ the first fruits. And then, the rest of them. And we're going to get to those here in just a few minutes. Man, can you imagine walking through the streets there and you see Old Testament saints and you see all of those, I don't know who else you'd see, all the way up to Abraham probably. You could see just about any Old Testament saint. Noah, there he is, old Noah. Can you imagine seeing old Noah walking down the street? I don't know how long they had with him, but man, there's a lot of stories that could be told while you're sitting there walking down the street with Noah for a few minutes. Isn't it odd? Hey, you say, preacher, that's impossible. One day it's going to happen again. Well, you better hope it does. If you think that's crazy, then you must think, we'll get to it in just a second, the rapture of the church, you must think that's crazy. Because the graves are going to open again. And those which sleep are coming up. We're talking about resurrections. And you better be glad because one that you've got saved loved ones that are in the ground that you better hope are going to come up one day. Yeah. Old Testament saints. We found them right here in Matthew chapter number 27. Now, let's move to number three. Brother John said, and I got a bet going on with him, even though we don't bet. He may, I don't. But we do have a bet going on. He says, I won't make it past number three tonight. I don't know why he would say such. But we're going to get all through seven of them if we have to be here till 9 o'clock. Because I want my $50. All right, y'all ready for number three? Resurrection number three is found in Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. This one is not a physical resurrection. It is a spiritual resurrection. Resurrection number three happened somewhere, I don't know, here in the middle of the church age, I guess wherever you got saved at. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2, and let's look at verse number 1. by now, I hope you know that you are body, soul, and spirit. You've probably heard that enough. You can quote it yourself. But in chapter 2 of Ephesians, it said, "And you have He quickened." I don't know if quickened means to make alive. "Who were dead in trespasses and sins, which in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And it goes on and says how you were before you got saved. Before you got saved, on the inside of you, let me find a page that I can use. On the inside of you, you've heard this illustration before, we'll give it to you again. On the inside of you, before you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, that's what your inside looked like. Dead, trespasses and sin, darkness upon the face of the deep. That's the way you look. If you're in this building tonight and you've never been saved by God's marvelous grace, never asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, never had a head-on collision with a man called Jesus Christ, that's the way you look on the inside. The Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sin. Say, "Preacher, how can a person be dead on the inside?" They're dead spiritually. They don't understand why we're sitting in a church building at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night when we could be home watching television, do something different. They don't understand that. Why? Because the natural man receives not the things of God, but their foolishness unto him. The world thinks we're dumb for being especially on a Wednesday night. The world really thinks we're crazy on being on church and Wednesday. Why? They don't understand. They don't understand why we come to the house of God to get spiritually fed. For what? Because they're dead on the inside. Y'all got that? But Jesus Christ came to live in your heart when you asked Him to, when you trusted Him as your Savior. And guess what? He raised you from the dead on the inside. He raised you up. Did you ever notice why you had a desire to go to church after you got saved? You didn't want to miss the service. Why? Because you're alive. Something's going on the inside. Man, you just got resurrected. I don't know when it happened to you, but wherever it happened sometime in this church age that we're living in today. There you are, washed, white, clean, spiritually resurrected. You were dead and trespassing sin. There you were. And now you're made alive unto Jesus Christ. And notice what He says in Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at here. Verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together. And made us sit together in heavenly places." Where? In Christ Jesus. Do you know something? I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I'm living and breathing down here on this earth. But while I'm walking down upon this earth, living and breathing, on the inside of me, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, has moved on the inside of me the very day I got saved. And listen, we was at a place this weekend, and matters not where we was at, but we were there, and there was a comment made that the person said, "Well, I got saved on such and such a date. But then I got the Holy Ghost at a later date," and it was probably 6 months down the road. I asked the preacher. Y'all know me. I asked the preacher after the service. The speaker that spoke, I said, "I got a question for you. Did that person just give 2 salvation experiences, or when were they saved?" Because Romans chapter number 8 says, "If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His." So either you get the Holy Spirit of God the day you get saved, or you didn't get saved. He said, "What are you talking about?" I'm sitting here thinking, what Bible have you been reading? Have you been reading it upside down? I didn't say that because I hadn't got my check yet. But now some of y'all don't know that I'm joking. Anyway, I was. But I asked the guy, I said, "Don't you understand that you get the Holy Spirit?" I took him over to Romans chapter number 8. Don't have a clue. don't have a clue in the world. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Willis? Life's your own, nobody's home. Listen, my friend, Jesus Christ, when He saved your soul, He resurrected your dead spirit alive unto God. Alive unto God. And guess where I'm at? I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm walking on the earth down here, but I'm also up there. So, preacher, how's that? Well, the Bible says I'm seated. I've been raised up. I'm seated up there already in Christ. Where's Christ? At the right hand of God. Where am I? I'm in Him, sitting at the right hand. Hallelujah. What am I doing? I'm just waiting on my body to catch up. And my body's going to catch up when we get to number 4. But you know, before you got saved, I got to hurry. Brother John may get $50 out of me. Good gracious. Before you got saved, the inside was dead. The outside was alive. When you get saved, the inside becomes alive. And you are to crucify the outside. Right reversed after you get saved. People have a hard time understanding. Sometimes they get saved, Jesus Christ moves in on the inside of them, and their flesh is still out here doing whatever they want to do. Their flesh is not crucified. If the inside has become made alive, has been quickened, then the outside must die because they are contrary one to the other. They don't like each other. You've got two people living on the inside of you. One's the flesh, and the other is the Holy Spirit of God if you're saved, and they don't like one another. They'll fight every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night and every Sunday night. They fight all the time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like I'm the only one that knows what I'm talking about. I have a problem with my flesh. You got a problem with yours. Now, we don't like talking about it, but we need to do what Galatians 2:20 says. It says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We are crucified the flesh. Heard about an old drunk fellow walking through the graveyard. And some old fellow had been out there digging grave, done fell in the grave. It got so cold that night, he done fell in the grave, went to sleep. Well, he woke up about the cold, about the time White O walks by, and he's standing there down there going, boy, it's cold down here. Old White O walks by, about time he does that, and he looks down there and he can't see, it's dark, but he hears his voice coming out of this grave. And about that time he looked down there again, and all of a sudden he said, boy, it's cold down here. And old White O looked down there about half lit. And he looked down there and he said, well, no wonder you're cold. You done kicked all the dirt off of you. But you know what? Listen, when you got saved by God's marvelous grace, Jesus Christ crucified you to this cross right here. Your flesh. But a lot of times, as saved people, we kick the dirt off of us and try to get back alive. And that's when we start doing fleshly things. If you're in here, And you've been saved. Preacher, I know I'm saved. But just ain't living right. This, that, and the other. You done kicked the dirt off. No wonder you're cold. You done kicked the dirt off. You need to put the dirt back on and kill the old flesh and live unto God. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's number 3. I got to hurry. Got some more to say on that, but can't afford it. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. We'll find number 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And you might want to get, for time's sake, 1 Corinthians 15 again. 1 Thessalonians 4, and we'll find resurrection number 4. They have moved Thessalonians. Oh, here it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I've already got it written up here for you. All right, here's number 4. That's number 4. And it's called the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, look at here, and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Notice verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ, shall rise first. Those people that are dead in the grave from the cross, to here. Grave, five letters, death. Dead in Christ. They are going to raise first. Then, there's two groups. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, we got comfort in this. We got comfort in knowing, yes, we cry when we have to bury a loved one. Yes, we are disappointed. Yes, we're hurting. But my friend, if they're saved and you're saved, that's not the last time you're going to see them. They're going to come up. The Lord's coming one day, and He's going to descend from heaven. That's why you got one arrow going down. We're going to meet Him in the air. Oh, won't that be a homecoming? We have homecomings here at Holy Hills. We all get together. Some people that's been members here before, they'll come. It's a homecoming. Everybody gathers together. Some people have left out. They just didn't show up for whatever reason. My friend, when we get to this homecoming, nobody's going to be left out. Everybody that's saved is going to be right here. From the cross all the way to here, the rapture of the church. And it's found again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at this. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we should all be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Same thing we just read in 1 Thessalonians. We shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And so on. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, we're going to be changed. In a moment, twinkling light, glasses fall off. We've talked about this before. My friend, your body's going to be changed. Brother Richard's going to have, man, he's going to have two brand new knees. And his old one's just going to be laying right there in the seat. For the Jehovah's Witness to come get. Yeah, Mormons, whoever else wants them. Yeah. Say, preacher, you're not talking about. Listen, hey, if their God is dead, you might as well talk about them. We're the only ones got one that's alive. Yeah. And anyway, rapture of the church. I can't wait for that. That could happen just any day. Could happen tonight before we get home. It could happen before we get to McDonald's or wherever we're going. It could happen. Yeah. Hey, preacher, what about so-and-so? They're out in the sea somewhere. God knows where they're at. He'll raise them up. What about so-and-so died in the fire? Man, they never did find him. God knows where he's at. God didn't have no problem forming man to dust the ground, did he? Well, he won't have no problem raising somebody else up. Going to be with him. Now, ready? Number 5. And that's found in Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11. John, get your checkbook out. Revelation chapter 11. Y'all ready? And this happens somewhere between the middle of the tribulation period and the second coming. Don't know right where. Don't think anybody does. But everybody that was saved in between here goes up here. Everybody that's left behind goes through 7 years tribulation period. And they're going through it. You watch them left behind movies? Some of them, they're all right to watch, but don't get all, sometime they leave the Bible. When they do, just throw that part out and watch the rest of it. Amen. 7 years tribulation period, you get left behind, you're not saved in this building right now, rapture takes place right now, we're going out of here in the twinkling of an eye, you won't know what hit, preacher will be gone, Brother John had to get up, finish the message. And then, all right, Rusty. He'll have to finish it. But we're going up, and then you're going to be left behind to go through 7 years of tribulation. Now, there are going to be people saved in the tribulation period. Learn verse number, chapter 11 of Revelation, verse number 3. In the middle of the tribulation period, there's coming two witnesses. Verse number 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years. These are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks, standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. We're talking about a preacher. We're talking about a preacher. Boy, I wish I had that gift right now. You know, or sometime. If you ever need it, boy, just be good. And I know some women make good witnesses. Fire proceedeth out of their mouth. All right, let's move on. And devoured their enemies, and if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, and it rained not in the days of their prophecy. That's Elijah. And have power over waters to turn them to blood and smite the earth with all the plagues as often they will. That's Moses. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that sendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, that's Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. They're just going to let them lay in the street. These two witnesses, they hate them so much. They're going to let them live there. Verse number 11, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Hey, can you imagine sitting in your house in the tribulation period? I don't know. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be watching this from the sky. You just hope you are not watching this from the ground. But if you are watching it from the ground and you're flipping through to CNN, Fox News, whatever else you watch, and all of a sudden they're showing, it's going to be on there. It's going to be on Fox News, CNN, everywhere else, and they're going to show these two men, Moses and Elijah, laying dead in the streets. Yeah. They're going to show them laying dead in the street, and after 3.5 days, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord is coming down, getting it, and they're going to stand up straight on their feet. Can you imagine? That's going to be on every channel. Can you imagine? That's going to be funny. People say God don't have a sense of humor. Yes, He does. And they heard a great voice from heaven, watch, saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Ain't that something? So, somewhere, don't know where, but somewhere in between the middle of the tribulation, the last half, somewhere, let's just say, we're going to guess, but somewhere, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come down and these two witnesses are be called up to heaven. And that's number 5. Yeah. Notice verse number... Let's see, chapter 7. Let's look at chapter 7. John, you may have to help me find this one. Where it says, these are they that come out of great tribulation. Where at? 7:14. There we go. Thank you. Now I said unto them, sir, thou knowest, and he said unto thee, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He shall sit upon the throne, shall dwell among them. Tribulation saints, these two witnesses, Don't know how all it pieces together, but number five is these tribulation saints and the two witnesses. Now, let's look at verse number six, or number six of the resurrections. And it's found in Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel 37. That's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 37. Now you'll find out why I divided the ones that come up after Jesus Christ into two groups. Ezekiel 37. The Lord's going to show Ezekiel something here. It's very important. Ezekiel 37, look at verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay snoods upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. That snoods, if I'm not saying that right, sort of like muscle tissue. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. The nation of Israel, God's not through with them. He's going to raise them up at the end of the tribulation period. The ones that are dead, the rest of the Old Testament saints, going to raise them up so they can inherit the kingdom. That's found in Ezekiel 37. He said, preacher, how do you know that's the nation of Israel? Well, the Bible always explains itself in verse number 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Is that what the Bible says? Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I and my people will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. Watch. O my people, and brought you out of your graves. Watch. Verse 14. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you into your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Notice, shall put my spirit in you. Say, preacher, when will the nation of Israel get saved like you and I do? Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of them. They get it right before the second coming. These bones shall live. And it's the nation of Israel, and they get the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit didn't stay with them. He come and left, went back, left. Here, number six, when the valley of dry bones gets up, He's going to speak and the Spirit's going to go into them, and the nation of Israel will enter into the kingdom. Somewhere around the second coming. The Lord's going to, the white horse, behold, heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and righteous he doth judge, make war, and his eyes were a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. Yeah, he's coming back to the second coming. The Spirit's going to go into the valley of dry bones, raise those nation of Israel up together. They're going to inherit the kingdom. That's number six. That's when they get spiritually saved. They get physically saved. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:13. Here, physically saved. And if they endure to the end, they get spiritually saved at the end. Ready? This is, might be a little heavy for Sunday night, but hey, we get spiritually saved first and get physically saved here. Nation of Israel, right reversed. They get physically saved first, get spiritually saved at the end. Right reversed. Old Testament, same way. They physically were saved if they obeyed God. They get spiritually saved here, the valley of dry bones. That's All right, last one. Revelation chapter 20. Oh, yeah. What? That wasn't the deal. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Last resurrection. This is a sad one. Verse number 11, Revelation 20, verse number 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on him whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the last resurrection. You say, preacher, how does that happen? Well, underneath our feet, let me explain this to you and we're closing. Underneath our feet is a place called hell. It's in the center of the earth. I know that because 3 days, Jonah's in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days, 3 nights, heart of the earth. It's where he went. Paradise, hell, that compartment. Hell's under our feet. That's what we call the county jail. Some people, I don't understand. There's two different places. There's hell, then there's the lake of fire, which is the penitentiary. Hell is the place you'll go if you die tonight without receiving Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You'll go to a place called hell and be held there until you see God sitting upon that white throne. You always get a fair trial. You'll be brought before hell. Death and hell was delivered up. Let's just say hell's down here. Death and hell delivered up. Wherever it's going to be, right out to the kingdom, judgment seat. Great white throne judgment. Death and hell was delivered up. That's number 7. Didn't bring my... After 1,000-year millennial reign, death and hell delivered up before the great white throne judgment. Probably be in the middle there. Don't know. Be delivered up. He's going to bring the books out, the book of life. He'll search that book, and those people are not found written. The book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Where that's going to be, it's on the other side of the universe somewhere. I have no idea. I got some good ideas. Possibly could be the sun. What is the sun? Lake of fire. I don't know. Could be on the other side of the universe somewhere out there behind the pyramid. I have no idea. It's out there somewhere. Because this earth's going to be done away with. Hell's going to be moved. Lake of fire somewhere else out there. You're lost without God. That's where you're going one day. Say, preacher, that don't build big churches. It sure does build a big heaven. Preaching. May not build a big church preaching on hell. But you tell people they're going to hell if they don't get saved and we get to heaven. Ain't my fault no more. That's why we need to tell them. Why? Because they're going to a place. They're going to stand before the judge and move from the county jail up to the judge. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Not I used to know you 2 weeks ago and then you slipped and fell. Come on now. That's good. Oh, I knew you last year, but I don't know you. He said, I never knew you. Once you know him and he knows you, you're in. 7 resurrections. Last thing, Christ the first fruits. Jewish, there's the first fruits. There's a harvest. And there's the gleanings. The first fruits, Christ the first fruits. Then those which are his is coming. Harvest. And then the leftovers, the gleanings. The 3 parts. The resurrection. Better make sure you got that down. Make sure you're going up. not down.